It is a real honor to be here. You guys have a beautiful church, and the building is really nice as well. Me and Morgan came from Edmonton area this morning, and it was just a wonderful drive out. I grew up on a farm outside of Coronation, so that's not that far away. A little hamlet called Brownfield. I don't know if anybody knows Brownfield, but that's my hometown. We had about 12 people that lived in Brownfield. I was the best guitar player in town. And there's lots that unites us here today. I have some long-lost cousins. Actually, their dad, who passed away not that long ago, he introduced my mom and dad. My mother passed away about a year ago. My dad is 93 and a half and still doing well. But I wouldn't be here if his dad or their dad hadn't introduced my mom and dad. So I think that's really neat. And also Blake and Shane. So Matt is here and with your wife and Autumn. And Blake is preaching today. He's our associate pastor. And Shane just purchased a house in Westlock. And Autumn said that she's moving to Westlock. So, no, but really what unites us is the Holy Spirit. And we are united in a way that is deeper than just relations. It's deeper than blood. It's deeper than friendship. It's deeper than even our cultural differences. Sometimes even some of our theological differences. We are united by God. Christ lives in us. And you are my brother or my sister, if you know Jesus. And we're going to spend eternity together. And it is such an honor to have this church as a sister church to our church. We need each other. We need all Christians. God is drawing us together. Our labels and our geographical locations don't matter so much anymore. What matters is Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. And he's alive. And he's the only hope. The answer is not in a new political power. I'm sorry. The answer is not in some more green technology or some sort of philosophy that allows us to accept everybody. The answer is one answer and one answer only, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can transform us. Make us new. Make us actually love one another. Make us so we're not selfish, full of hate and bitterness and sin. And this is what real Christianity is all about. Real Christianity is not about us trying to be good so that God will someday say, "Hey, Carson, you haven't smoked in a long time and you don't drink anymore. You're getting pretty good. Hey, come on up." No. Jesus took me when I smoked, when I drank, when I was lost. And he wrapped his arms around me and he said, "I love you, Carson. Come on up." So I want us to think about this today. What makes us one? What makes us one? I'm going to open up in prayer. Father, speak to us. Don't let it be me. Don't let me get in the way. Remove evil from this building. Remove evil from our hearts. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Deliver us from the evil that's in our society and around us. All those temptations on our computers and our phones. God, forgive us. Remove that from us. Protect our youth. Protect each and every believer here today, God. And may this town be a light. May each and every servant of yours here today shine with your holiness, with your righteousness. And we praise you, God, so much for your salvation. We praise you for everything you've done, God, and we recognize we are less than nothing and you are everything. God, speak to us this morning in your name, amen. So you can turn to John 17, starting at verse 15. John 17, starting at verse 15. Now, a lot of people know the Lord's Prayer, and we remember the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer has it all. It's a very important prayer. But this prayer in John 17 is also the Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus praying. And when Jesus prayed, what did he pray for? What was the one main thing he prayed for? And if you notice in this scripture, he prayed for us today. In 2022, July, in Clive, he prayed for us today. He was thinking about us. What did he pray for? He prayed that we would be one. Let's read it. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. He didn't say, make them holy so that they grit their teeth and try really hard. No, he said, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Truth sets us free, doesn't it? Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Has God sent you into the world? Sounds to me like he has. I got to tell you, it's been pretty exciting talking about what happened with the youth just last night, I guess, eh? You know what's happening? Your prayer is happening. Come like a mighty wind. That's what's happening. And we live in a pagan society. This is not the same society my dad grew up in. It's a pagan world. We're the minorities. We're the remnant, even. It is not popular to be a Christian. You can't say you're a Christian and get voted in anymore. You can't say you're a Christian and even work for most companies. If you're professing Jesus as Lord, you won't be hired at most companies. Celebrate this. This is an exciting time to know Jesus. It's an exciting time to be persecuted. It's an exciting time to have the truth. And what you will find is the Holy Spirit knows exactly what he's doing. And he loves us. And he loves those around us. And he is not done yet. He's not done yet. We are going to see thousands of people come to Jesus. You know why? Because he's the truth. He's the only way. And he's the life. I'm 57 years old, and my generation learned what it's like when you turn your back on Jesus. You know what it's like? Death. Despair. Depression. Suicide. Hell. You know what it's like when you have Jesus? It's life. Life. Eternal life. We are giving away eternal life with a relationship with the creator of the universe for free. Careful. Because if you want him, it'll cost you everything. But if you do that, we don't need to trick people. We don't need to cower away from people. This is the greatest deal ever known to man. And we have the Creator living in us. And don't worry. He has come like a mighty wind. And we're going to see salvation more and more and more to the most hopeless people. Just as you send me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His holy truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us here today. Jesus was praying for us here today. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I drive a 2006 Ford Taurus. It's got a whole bunch of miles on it. And it's not running right. And I got a mechanic friend that just lives two doors over from me, and he has tried everything. Bless him. And I know God wants this because I'm connecting to him. And so he doesn't want this car fixed because he wants me to keep going over there, right? This car has a motor, and the motor's running really good. It's got a transmission. Transmission's great. But it drives down the highway, and it stutters. Bam, bam, bam. Me and Morgan all the way here. You know, all the way here. And it really helps your prayer life, right? You know, it helps you. Please, Jesus, help us get there. Please, Lord. We have changed the spark plugs. We have changed the fuel filter. We've changed even the fuel pump. On a preacher's wage, this car is really making me happy. We have changed the coil. It's still. And you know what my friend found out, and I haven't got it done yet? It's the spark plug wires. There's a short in one of the spark plug wires. And it's shorting out. God designed us. All of us. To be one. That car has a great motor. And we need a motor. And we need a steering wheel. But we need a lug nut too, you know. I bought a van back in 1993. And I loved the van. My dad, I remember I went to my dad, how much you think this van's worth? He said, well, how much fuel you got in it, right? I drove it about four blocks from where I bought it, and the tire fell off. You know why? Because the lug nuts weren't tightened. We need you. If you're a lug nut, we need you. You might feel like just you're worthless. You're not the motor. You're not the transmission. What good are you? Trust me, without you, we're not going anywhere. We need the spark plugs. We need the spark plug wires too. God designed us to operate as one. About 3 years ago, our little church, we have a tiny church. There's barely 100 people if we all come at once. And that's all our church will hold. And there was an argument because we were doing good. And we decided to get some of these fancy chairs because we were sitting on, you know, these old chairs and they weren't very comfortable. And an argument came up about the color of the chairs. I've heard rumors about stuff like this. It hurt people. Somebody had ordered the chairs without consulting the board, and they happened to be people that, you know, wrote the big checks. I'm just telling you. They wrote the big checks. So they decided we know what kind of chairs we want. And after all, it's basically my money that's buying them. You know, I'm just telling you straight up. So they ordered billiard green. Now, for me, I'm happy with billiard green. I used to play pool, you know. I don't really care. But there were people in the church that found out about it, and they called the factory. and they put a stop to it. And they ordered, you know, light gray. There were some people that left our church. I'm just telling you. They left our church over the color of our chairs. I heard a story from a friend of mine down in Alabama. There's two churches. He showed me pictures. They're less than a block apart from each other, and they're exactly the same Baptist denomination. And I said, well, how come there's two churches? He said, years ago they had a church banquet, you know, a potluck. If you're Baptist, you know what potlucks are. And one lady brought her chicken, fried chicken. And another lady brought fried chicken. And the pastor made the unforgivable sin of commenting that this is the best chicken I've ever had. And a fight broke up over the chicken. And the lady got offended, and her and her relatives moved and started a new church a block away over chicken. This is laughable, isn't it? This last year, trust me, I don't know any details. James, I got to tell you, James has been praying. We've been praying every day for Clive Baptist Church. And I want so bad to connect more and more. You know, through Blake's family and my cousins. You know, I grew up on a farm. All the way here, I'm going, please God, don't let it hail. Don't let it hail. We need each other. But I have friends that are pastors all over the world, actually, even in Vietnam and Korea. I spent 6 years in South Korea. And they're all going through the same thing. Every one of them. Because what's happened is we were told by our government to wear masks. And we were told we had to get vaccinated. And then we were told to isolate. And some people took this very serious, and so be it. And they stayed at home. And they never came to church. And then over a month, and then 2 months, and then 3 months, there's no fellowship. There's no potlucks. There's no music. There's no worship. Just these YouTube videos that some people like to call church. That's not church. It's like saying you're married and you FaceTime each other once a day. When you really get close to people, you rub against people. And when you're a Christian and you practice what the scripture tells us what to do, and you have Jesus in you, and he's changing your heart from bitterness to forgiveness, you work these things out. But when you're isolated, then doubt comes in. And gossip starts. And slander starts. And I have seen churches with over 300 members that are down to 40 now in Edmonton. Edmonton. And I've seen churches that have split in half over chicken. Or the color of chairs. Or other ridiculous issues that just simply don't matter when it comes to salvation. And the gospel. The good news. That you don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to live in hell anymore. You don't have to be alone anymore. You don't have to go to hell when you die. Last week, there was another suicide in Westlock. There's one basically every month. There's only 5,000 people in Westlock. Once a month, there's either a murder or an overdose or a suicide on average. 21-year-old boy. While we're arguing about chairs, and there is a good chance that that boy is in hell right now, Think about that. I pray to God that's not true. I pray to God that he cried out to Jesus. God is merciful. But I don't see any evidence of that. We got to get this right. Why do you think Jesus prayed that prayer? Because he needs spark plug wires. He needs lug nuts. He needs people with long hair too. Yeah, he does. He does. He needs people that love what a friend we have in Jesus. I surrender all. He needs people that play drums too. This is not about culture. This is about the gospel. And it's time that we become one. It's time that we become one. Choose the hills worth fighting for. Sin corrupts us and divides us. It builds walls between us. This is what separates us from God, isn't it? Sin. And when we sin against each other, and when we have bad feelings against each other, it divides us. What Jesus did on the cross is the answer. Forgiveness. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You want revival? I have a mentor in my church. He's an old pastor. He says, if you want revival, you get down on your knees beside your bed and you take a piece of chalk and you draw a circle around yourself and you pray and you beg God to revive everything in that circle. Revival starts with us. It starts with us going, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And on the other side, I forgive you. And usually, I'm wrong too. Your chicken really is better than mine. It's the dumb issues that create sin. And sin divides us. Colossians 3:13. So the title of my sermon, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I can get over anything. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus said, I cannot forgive you if you will not forgive others. Wow. This is why we can forgive. Go on. The title of my sermon today is Make Us One. Point number one, forgiving each other's faults. Forgiving each other's faults. Colossians 3:13. Listen to this carefully. This is God speaking to us. This is Paul speaking to the church, but this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Make allowance for each other's faults. Let me say that one more time. Make allowance for each other's faults. You ever been married? You know what it's like when you get together and you're actually living together? You ever had a roommate? You can be the best of friends until you live together, right? Because then you get to know what's really going on. And what's really going on is we all have faults. We've got character flaws. We got things about us that bug each other. And the closer you get, the more you discover. That guy isn't what I thought he is. Preachers go through this all the time. We have 6 months of honeymoon where you can literally walk on water, right? And then people start going, wait a minute, Carson's a human being. He's not allowed to be a human being. He's supposed to be some kind of, above me somehow. I'm sorry, folks. We are down here
less than nothing. And because of Christ, we're in a throne room. There isn't like, you know, down here is the Pentecostals, right? And then up a little bit is the United Church people. And then the Baptists, they're pretty high. And then comes the pastor. And then Billy Graham and all the people around Billy Graham, they're way up here. And some people think the Pope is really high, you know. Some people think the Pope is on the bottom, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jesus. No, we are less than nothing. And then we receive Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Boom. We are sons and daughters of the Most High, and we are saints, and we are made holy by Jesus Christ. Two levels. Hell, heaven. Evil, holy. That's it. That's the only levels there are. You don't think we all have sin? 1 John says it very clearly. If you say you haven't sinned, you're lying. You're lying. We know that. You know that about yourself. That's why we have shame. Because we like to hide our sin. We don't want people to know who we really are. And we have shame. What if they know me? What if they actually know me? You don't want shame? Let it all out. Tell everybody everything. You get rid of guilt by coming to God. You get rid of shame by going to each other. That's how you get rid of shame. I am not good. I need help. I need prayer. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. We're all struggling with something. It's not just about smoking and drinking, folks. The Bible talks a lot more about gossiping and slander. And that's rampant in our churches these days. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Remember, the Lord forgave me, I must forgive others. I must forgive others. Choose the hills worth fighting for. There are many hills that are not worth fighting for. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. I have seen mature Christians just about screaming and yelling and choking each other over who knows Jesus the most. Do you see the irony in that? I've seen people fight. Now, I am a young earth guy. Ask Blake. I believe, and I'll say this, and I'm sorry if I'm offending you. I don't mean to. This world was created in 6 days. I'm sure of it. I am sure that God wrote it that way in Genesis for a reason. And our God could have done it in the blink of an eye. He didn't need 6 days. But he chose to do it in 6 days to teach us a lesson mainly about rest. He chose, everything God does is for a reason, folks. He chose to do it in a way to say, I am the light in the darkness. I am the light in Clive. I am the light in your divorce. I am the light in your addiction. I am the light in the darkness. But I went to Bible school where I had professors that believed the world is millions of years old. Old Earth. I don't believe in old Earth. But I gotta tell you, I will argue this with you. We can have a discussion about it. But if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you pray to Him and you serve Him, and you're hearing from Him, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're my sister. You're my brother. And I'm not willing to divide the church over that. It's not worth it. What did he say? These things are useless and a waste of time. Here we are arguing about young earth, old earth, when we should be worried about a kid that just killed himself that doesn't know Jesus. That's what we need to be focused on. There are hills that are not worth fighting on. Here's another verse, 2 Timothy 2, 23-24. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. Man, we should have tattooed that on our chest this last year, eh? Right? have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know, they breed quarrels. Isn't it interesting how God's word is for today as it ever was and ever will be? That is completely relevant. I'm a pastor and people come to me and they need help with this, need help with that. And I have to remind myself, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a pastor. And you know where my answers come from? The Bible. God. And you know what's amazing? He has an answer for everything. One guy challenged me that the other day. He says, oh, the Bible has an answer for everything. I just dropped my phone in the toilet. Does the Bible have an answer for that? And I gave him the scripture where Elijah made an axe head float. I said, you just need faith. Just pray. Choose the hills worth fighting for. I've had people over the years that were against long hair. I made a Nazarite vow. I have a reason why I made a Nazarite vow. And God wanted me to have long hair. And I can tell that it's helped me. This beard and this long hair has helped me. Last year I was called into a place with a guy with a gun and he's drunk. And the grandmother calls me. And he sees me from half a block away and he drops his gun and goes, that is an epic beard. And I'm glad I wasn't shaved at that time. And we need spark plugs and lug nuts and motors and transmissions. That means not everybody needs to have long hair. Not everybody needs to have a big beard. This is between you and God. You are a spark plug, or you are a motor, or you are a transmission, and you have a job in the kingdom of God, and we need you. We need you to be you. We don't need you to be me. Trust me. We only need one of me. We don't need you to be Pastor James. We need you to be you. God made you. Because if you're not you, the wheel's going to fall off. And the van's not going to go anywhere. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil. Let's stop fighting over hills that are not worth fighting for. Let's stop getting distracted. I know churches, and you probably know them too, that have quadrupled in size over the doctrine of, I hate the government. Am I wrong? Quadrupled in size over the doctrine of, I'm not doing what they're telling me to do. If you're not coming to church to seek Jesus Christ and to get to know Him and to love one another and forgive one another and be that spark plug wire or that lug nut, don't come. I love your band. They are very good, and I don't know who your sound person is, but I had a past in music, and your sound person is doing a really good job. Really good job. But I don't care, and your singers are top-notch. Your female singer here, both of them, top-notch. But I don't care if you're absolutely out of tune. I don't care if the band is horrible. I don't care if our lights don't work and we don't have any special lighting. What we are here for is Jesus Christ, the Creator, the answer, the only thing that will count in your life. The difference between death and life. The difference between living a useless life and one that is full of crowns. And what are those crowns? Some of them are people, your neighbors, that come to Jesus because the Holy Spirit called you and you did your job. Some of those crowns are people that don't go to hell because you're a lug nut and the tire didn't come off and this church explodes. It doesn't explode with entertainment. It explodes with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit.
Let it go. Let it go. Stop. Repent. What do? When you have sin in your life, you know a mature Christian knows he's less than nothing. Watchman Nee said, a new Christian is excited about growing. A mature Christian knows that he is nothing and Jesus is everything. A super mature Christian knows that he is less than nothing and Jesus is everything. Let it go. We live in a state of confessing and repenting. That is the best we can do, folks. And what did John say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And James tells us, confess one to another. Let it go. We don't care if your chicken is bitter. We don't care about the color of the chairs. What we care about is the gospel. What we care about is eternity. What we care about is not going to hell when you die and not living in hell while you're here. We love you as is. I don't want to argue about your tattoo anymore. I don't care. Do you know Jesus? Are you following Him? Are you seeking Him? Let it go. Forgive each other's faults. Say you're sorry. Humble yourself. Stop wasting time on meaningless arguments that separate us. Love each other. Forgive each other. Jesus prayed for this exact reason. This is why your Creator, the Lord of your life, prayed, God, make them one. Why? So that they will believe. Next point, confronting in love. So what do we do if the hill is worth fighting for? What do we do if the hill is worth fighting for? I have a youth group volunteer that moved in. And he's working with our youth. And then he moved in with his girlfriend. I love him. I love his girlfriend. And I love the youth. And I had to have a talk with him. That's not the example I want for our kids. There are reasons why you don't have sex before you're married, kids. I won't give you a whole big speech about it, but I'll tell you. I'm sick and tired of everybody. I'm in pain. I have such scars in my heart. Oh, I don't trust anyone. Well, some of the reason is because you have damaged your heart. And pill from the doctor might numb you, but what you need is to obey. The Bible doesn't give you a bunch of rules that if you don't follow them, you go to hell. The Bible gives you a bunch of rules that if you don't follow them, you'll live in hell. Even if you know Jesus. Getting drunk and drugs and having sex causes problems. I don't want my 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15-year-old to think it's okay. I love you. You're not allowed to lead the youth group anymore. You're not allowed to be a volunteer for the youth group. What happens when you have a hill that is worth fighting for? I had one guy come to church and he said he was Christ. That's a true story. He said, I'm the Son of Man. And his white truck was the white horse. And he believed this. I would be preaching and said, don't worry, folks, Jesus is coming back. And he says, I'm already here. I couldn't allow that. That's a hill worth fighting for. I had to confront him. So what does the Bible say? First thing, be careful when you judge. Be careful when you judge. Be careful when you judge. Let's read this. If another believer sins against you, go privately. Privately. And point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. This is so wise. This is so wise. And it works. Because every step of this is trying to get that person back with love. Every step
isn't trying to condemn. Every step is trying to get that person back. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Now it's public. Now it's public. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Do you know what we do? We go straight from, if another believer sins, to that person is a pagan. That's what we do. We go straight, we skip all those steps, right? We go straight from, that person is sinning. That person's a pagan. And we don't go to that person. No. What we do is we go behind his back. And we go talk to everyone else. Did you know that that person did this? And do you know that that person did this? And that, you know what they call that? They call that the sin of gossiping and slander. And half the times we don't even have the facts straight because we didn't go to him. So we're just hearing the information from around town. That's sin, folks. These steps are there for a reason. These steps make perfect sense. And they work. The first thing is you got to love. You got to love the person that sinned. You got to love the people that they're affecting with their sin. You got to love. So how does it go? First, go privately. Go privately. Go privately. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Don't tell anybody. Don't talk to anybody. Don't spread it around. I've noticed this. And we pray. And the Holy Spirit will direct you. Go privately. It might be something worth taking to your church board or your pastor. But you go because you love this person. Go privately. Second step, take one or two others with you if they won't listen. Get the facts straight. So you're not just hearing one thing, but they're all hearing and they can all say, oh, this is what I heard, this is what I heard. He's living with his girlfriend. He doesn't think there's anything wrong with it. He's going to keep doing that. Okay? Third step, take the case to the church. That's definitely where you talk to your board. You talk to your board members. In a Baptist church, I like this structure. Members have one job and one job only. To hear from God and vote accordingly. Your job is not to vote what your opinion is. Your job is to pray and to hear from God and vote accordingly because we want Jesus to rule this church. If it's just democratic, it doesn't work if you're not hearing from God. You got to pray. You got to hear from God. God, what do you want us to do? Go to the church. And if that person still won't listen, then you treat that person as a pagan. Or a corrupt tax collector. You divide yourself from that person. Because you love that person. And you also love the people that person is affecting. And because of that, you have to get stiff. See, people like to judge. If another believer sins against you, go privately. You know when we talked about, don't worry about that speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye? When you can't see past the log in your own eye, hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. It does not say don't judge. It says that there's a process to judging. I have a friend that's got a big beard like me. His name is Big Red. And we were out together eating, and he starts laughing at me one day, and I said, what? He says, you've got gravy in your beard. And I had this gravy just dribbling down my beard. When you eat, it's a bit of a hassle. But you know what the funny thing was? As he was saying that and laughing at me, he had ketchup everywhere, all down his beard. And here he was judging me for having gravy when he had ketchup in his beard. We do that to each other, don't we? We tend to look at the gravy in your beard and we forget to look in the mirror first. You know what you'll find? When you see something in somebody else that you don't like and you look at yourself, you'll probably find that same sin in you. Oh, that person has this problem. That person has that problem. And when you turn it around and look at yourself, that sin will probably be in you. That's why you noticed it. Because you're familiar with it. The first thing you got to do is look at yourself and then go through these steps. Go privately. Take one or two other with you.
Take the case of the church. Treat that person as a pagan. John 17:21. What did Jesus say? In conclusion here, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. You know, I was talking to Jim on the way in here. If you know Jesus, the creator of the universe, and he's talking to you every day and guiding you step by step, and you're not excited about it and jumping all and down and trying to tell everybody else, you wouldn't believe what God told me, and God is directing me, and he forgave me, and then you don't know him. You know, when I was 15, I was in a bus accident, and for one reason or another, I got to meet Pierre Trudeau, Sr., the father, Pierre Trudeau. And you know, even though my dad was not a Trudeau fan, my dad was pretty proud that he got to meet the Prime Minister. We told everybody. We had pictures. I got to meet Trudeau. We don't even feel that way about Jesus. And how are we supposed to get people to come to this church and to give their lives to Jesus if we're fighting over chicken? And we're fighting over the color of chairs. We're fighting over young earth, old earth. And boy, I know more about the temple than you do. And I'm sure that I know more about how to be a theologian than you do. That's why Jesus wants us to have the faith of a child. He wants us just to surrender. We don't know the mind of God, folks. Isaiah tells us clearly. We don't know the mind of God. You could study that book your whole life. You're not going to have any of it figured out, because we've got a brain the size of my fist, and his brain is infinite. The best we can know is trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's the best we can do. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. That's the best we can do. Get out of the way. We are to be one so the world will believe he is God. Let's bind together. Let's examine our hearts this week. I don't know anybody here. Not closely. I have no... It's nice to preach a message like this because you know I don't know. Hey, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know any politics. I don't know any details. Maybe you guys had a big fight over the chairs too. I think you picked some pretty nice colors. I would have went with billiard green myself. But you know, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you, let it go. Forgive. You want revival? Hug each other in public. Do it so the kids can see you. Repent, confess, love each other. They shall know we are Christians by our love. You want to witness to this town? I am so thrilled to hear about that speaker. I want his name. I've been looking for somebody to come up to Westlock. But what is going to change this town? Our love. We are not a club. We are not a legion. Or an Elks Club. Or a knitting group. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are joined supernaturally. We are to become one machine. Where the spark plug, the lug nuts, the motor, the transmission, the steering wheel, all work under the leadership of our commander in chief, Jesus Christ. Why do you think the Lord's Prayer said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What does that mean? It means if we're all ticking away, listening to the Holy Spirit, we are one. In heaven, that's how it is. There is no sin. God directs everyone, and we are one. And that's how Jesus wants us to be here.
And if we're like that here, thousands, tens of thousands, millions will respond to the gospel. And they'll meet Jesus Christ. And they'll stop killing themselves. They'll stop numbing themselves. They'll stop crying themselves to sleep every night. They'll stop looking for meth on the corner. They'll stop trying to get religious for the sake of religion. They'll stop trying to get more money so they can get storage places for their stuff and then someday buy an RV so they can get away from their stuff. They will start putting treasures in heaven instead of treasures on earth. And these short little lives that we live, they will blossom into the kingdom of God, where He is King, He is Lord. And folks, if you don't know Him yet, talk to Him today. Don't waste one more hour without knowing Jesus. It's a waste of time. Everything the world offers, and I am somebody who's tried it all, it's garbage. Absolute garbage. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You want to find that out the hard way? I won't be old enough, but I'll see you in 20 years. And you'll be a wreck. Find it out now. Jesus is everything. He's not religion. He's not rules. He's Jesus. And He can change you and transform you, and you will be born again into His kingdom. And if you're nothing more than a lug nut, trust me, we need you. We need you. Let's get this right. Let's get this car running smoothly, correctly. Let's pray the same prayer Jesus prayed for us. Oh, Lord, make us one. Lord Jesus, make us one. And I ask that Your Holy Spirit would speak to all of us. If there's any bitterness or anger or sin, God, we confess it to You right now. And God, if You want us to go talk to one another, we're asking You to give us the courage to do that. And God, I'm asking You to speak clearly through us to this province, to this town, to this nation, to this world. God, don't let our children go to hell. Don't let our grandchildren go to hell. Don't let our neighbors go to hell. God, give us the faith to believe in You. Give us the courage to love one another. Give us, Lord, the absolute huge ears to hear You and the courage to obey You. God, it's all from You. We praise You. We lift You up on high. I can't believe what You're doing. And I can't believe how You're doing it. And God, I'm just happy to be called Your son. And I ask that You will bless each and every believer here today, that they will hear Your voice, and they will follow You, and they will obey You, and we will become one, bound together by the Holy Spirit in love, forgiveness, tenderheartedness, where we listen more than we speak. We forgive instead of condemn. And we love each other enough to confront each other when that time comes. God, we give You all the glory, all the praise. In Your name, amen.